Hello, hello to the podcast Agroecology World and this 10th episode. This is your host, Rob Clouson, a.k.a. Dr. K, and welcome again to this podcast that's celebrating and sharing the global scope and promise of agroecology. If you're a regular listener, you know that this podcast is being made while I'm on world travels with my wife, Skye. Now we are so fortunate to spend time on some of the beautiful islands in the mainland of the country of Greece. As was stated in the last episode that I made from Cyprus, our stays and experiences here continue our entry to the fascinating history and peoples of ancient and modern cultures in the Mediterranean world. In addition, this episode extends in a very big way my introduction and exploration of agroecology to the whole of Europe. And always, I want to again explain that the intention of my podcast is to share with you some of my meetings with outstanding practitioners and communities of agroecology and sustainable food systems in the fascinating countries that my wife and I are so lucky to visit. My goal for this podcast is to introduce you to the actual folks and places so that you can learn from their own voices of their own ideas and experiences, keeping it informal but informative and light but enlightening. As I was saying, I'm very excited about this episode for a variety of reasons. First, it's a report from the second Agroecology Europe Forum that was held in Crete, Greece, from September 26th to 28th, 2019, and which I was able to attend. This event was organized by the Association Agroecology Europe and hosted by the Association Agroecology Greece. These groups exemplify the vigorous organizing efforts occurring worldwide to promote agroecology as a follow-up to the two international symposia on agroecology that were organized by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN in the years 2014 and 2018. For your information, here's some background about Agroecology Europe. It's an association with a vision to place agroecology high on the European agenda of sustainable development of farming and food systems. It was created on January 27, 2016, with the participation of 19 founders from 10 European countries. It aims at the creation of an inclusive European community of practitioners, professionals, institutions, and societal stakeholders. It defines its agenda through the active participatory engagement and interaction of its members. As described on their website, Agroecology Europe has specific goals, including the following activities and projects to promote agroecology: stimulate collaborations, both regional and internationally, to face present and future challenges of European agriculture. Facilitate research, education, training, and extension in support of increasing capacity by governmental and NGO organizations and by farmers. Coordinate an open database of initiatives, techniques, and practices. Exchange ideas that clarify the relationship with other alternative agriculture movements. Support farmer-driven initiatives and organizations. Engage society as a whole. Second, the attendees came from across Europe and are diverse in their interests and activities. They represent farmers, institutions, NGOs, entrepreneurs, and individual stakeholders. This episode features interviews with some of the attendees of this event. Thirdly, I was thrilled that my son Forrest could attend this event with me. He's beginning graduate studies in land planning for sustainable development with an emphasis on urban food systems at the University of Leipzig, Germany. And I felt that this event would have great value for him in his future studies. Besides, he could also assist me in conducting my interviews. Ha ha ha. Now, before we jump into the interviews of this episode, I do want to provide you with a short summary of the highlights of the forum for me. First, the keynote presentations began with an inspiring perspectives of a woman farmer and member of Agroecology Greece. This was then followed by speakers on agroecology and feminism and on Via Campesino. They were followed by speeches from representatives of institutions across Europe. For example, from Brussels, Belgium, there was the International Panel of Experts of Sustainable Food Systems, and there was the Joint Research Center of the European Commission. From Rome, Italy, there was the FAO Office of Agroecology of the UN. From Bonn, Germany, there was the International Federation of Organic Agriculture Movements, IFOM. Two, as part of the keynote speeches and the General Assembly, the speakers from the Board of Agroecology Europe gave updates on a very active agenda of programs. For example, as a retired sustainable agriculture extension educator myself, I was very pleased to hear of their programs focusing on the involvement of their youth network of students and practitioners from all levels, including in the program of the forum itself. This fact demonstrated to me the commitment and awareness of Agroecology Europe that the training of the next generation of agroecologists is essential to fulfill the promise for long-term solutions implementing agroecology. Three, the breakout sessions typically each featured a diversity of presenters from across Europe. They were organized at both introductory and advanced levels to offer choices to the attendees. Many had very interactive formats that allowed you to network with attendees during the session, as well as develop consensus on the topics. And these topics ranged from agroecology, natural biodiversity conservation, food sovereignty initiatives, education approaches to agroecology, transitions at the food system levels. Four, excellent field trips were coordinated by the host organizer, Dr. Vasilis Glyksakis, to introduce the attendees to local Cretan agriculture and agroecology programs. For example, I joined the field trip on the research on the transition of olive orchards and the reintroduction of heritage grain varieties to sustainable agroecosystems. My son Forrest went on the one to Melitakis, an agriculture social cooperative and farm. This farm was providing our daily meals of organic traditional foods at the forum. Both of these field trips emphasized the importance of the cultural and historical aspects of their individual programs. Now, after a short musical interlude, we will listen to my conversations with seven of the attendees of this event. This second Agroecology Europe Forum was held at the Hellenic Mediterranean University in Heraklion on the northern coast of Crete when I was able to visit with my wife, Skye, in mid-September 2019.
My name is Sandra Peterson. I'm a Swedish student at the Swedish Agroecology University in Malmö, southern Sweden. It's a very good climate for growing food, because in Sweden we have three different biomes, and the very southern part is the most optimal for crop production. I'm studying the agroecology master's program at the university, and the reason for that is because of climate issues. I started studying social science, doing peace and development, and I got more and more interested in how we can provide food, because there are a lot of conflicts that are prone to issues related to scarcity of food or scarcity of water or land grabbing issues or policy implications around food. So we talk a lot about agroecology being a practice and a movement, and also science. So we like to bridge all the actors of the food system together and make sure that the linkages and the circles are shorter. So one important aspect is to bridge gaps between the consumers and the producers. So at the moment, I'm having an internship at an urban farm in southern Sweden, where we grow a lot of vegetables. We have beds where we grow vegetables, lettuce. We also have a container where we grow microgreens. So they're very short crops, like fast crops. So we have lots of cycles within a season. And then we sell these crops to local restaurants in Malmö. So we just deliver them on a weekly basis. And this is one way of ensuring food security, which is an important topic in agroecology, to make sure that that food is all around us, and that in urban areas we're not dependent on the rural areas, because that will cause a lot of transportation and other issues, and water, how to transport water around. So urban agriculture is definitely one of the solutions for food security. So it's really an interesting internship, and I hope I will learn a lot more to get a better insight in how we can provide food for all the population.
You came a long way from Sweden to this forum.
Yeah.
Here in Crete. Curious what benefits or expectations you had to come and meet the people that are members of Agroecology Europe.
Well, also it gives us more of a, I wouldn't say global perspective because it's only Europe, but there are a lot of the big countries that provide food for us in Sweden are, for example, Spain or the Netherlands. So it's also fruitful for us to see other types of agroecology perspectives and other type of farming compared to ours, and also to network and see, get to see how other people do it in other regions and countries.
Great. Well, thanks for sharing, and best of luck in your studies.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Bye.
Hello. My name is Lindsay Graham. I am from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I studied geography in Chicago at DePaul University. And after that, I was working as a countywide land use planner back in Lancaster, which has led me to my current position as a student at Humboldt University in Berlin, where I'm studying for my master's in integrated natural resource management. And I'm here at the Agroecology Forum in Crete, because I actually heard about agroecology only about 2 months ago from a colleague at work. And I was surprised how much it resonated and applied to the research I was planning to do for my thesis, which I'm hoping to do here also in Crete. I'm going to be doing a case study of agroecological cooperative, and looking at how agroecology and collective action will hopefully increase resilience in the face of climate change. So I'm specifically interested how agroecology will or can act as a form of climate change adaptation.
So you came here, you didn't really know what to expect. I know you've been to a number of the sessions. Anyone pops out as some things you heard or some projects described that you particularly found interesting and useful to know about?
I think actually the presentation that resonated the most with me was the first presenter in the general meeting, which was just a local farmer here in Crete, and her just describing some of the practices that she uses, and also a lot of the social challenges that she encountered, especially, so her father had been a potato farmer conventionally here, and she went away to study and then came back and realized that she wanted to change how things were done and do more of an agroecological approach, and that she faced a lot of criticism from the local community, and she thought she faced more actually because she was from the community rather than if she had been from outside. So I thought that was really interesting because that's something I've looked at in some of my studies, is how outsiders bringing new ideas into communities are perceived by the community, and to the extent to which they're able to spread those ideas of sustainability or agroecology. So I thought that was a really interesting perspective on how it's put into practice.
Definitely. If it's one thing we've heard over and over again these last 3 days is what are the barriers?
Mm-hmm.
What are how can agroecologists overcome the barriers to, because the theme of this forum, right, is scaling up, increasing awareness, increasing implementation of agroecology. So, you're absolutely right. It's kind of like farmer psychology and sociology. One thing I'm interested in now, Lancaster County in PA, is that within the jurisdiction of Philadelphia? Do you feel like you're a rural woman or a suburban woman or an urban woman?
I definitely grew up in suburbia.
Suburbia.
Solid suburbia, although Lancaster County is one of the most agriculturally productive and fertile, has some of the most fertile soil in the country.
Uh-huh.
But it was funny, actually, growing up there, I didn't have much of a connection to agriculture, besides we also have one of the oldest continually operating farmers markets in the United States.
Very good.
So I had a connection to that, but not really to agriculture. So it's only been actually really in my master's studies that I've become more interested in agriculture. I think the suburban landscape certainly didn't help with that, and it's a huge encroachment on agriculture, and that's why in my work at the Planning Commission there, that was pretty much the entire focus, was how do we contain development so to preserve our very fertile soil, because it's a complete waste to be building on it. But to answer your question, I think I do now. I've been living in urban areas for nearly 10 years now, and I definitely consider myself, or I feel much more comfortable, living in urban areas because of the efficiency. I feel like I can't unlearn what I've learned about the resource efficiency of cities as far as infrastructure goes, but I certainly still enjoy and appreciate nature.
Well, and listening to your story, what impresses me is a lot of what I found as a professional using and teaching agroecology. It's very inclusive. You don't have to come from agriculture to get passionate about the solutions offered by agroecology. You don't have to stay in the U.S. You can go to Europe. You can and find out the models that they're showing and they're testing here. It's all this cross-fertilization, so to speak, going on that's exciting. It opens up new opportunities for people to think about for careers or just, you know, whatever level you want to do, a volunteer or actually make a living at doing it and mm-hmm. things like that. So, okay. Well, thanks so much, Lindsay.
Thank you.
And best of luck on that finishing the degree and your upcoming project here in Crete.
Thank you.
I know that collective you're going to be studying, if my son's description of it was half as exciting as it's going to be, they're a fun group of people to get to know and to get to study.
Yeah. Thank you. It's locked.
Okay, hello. I'm Erika Leni, a PhD student in Human Rights and Global Politics at the Internet School of Advanced Studies in Pisa, Italy. I came here because I'm doing a research on small farmers' empowerment in relation to land rights and agroecology scaling up, and the focus is on Myanmar and Thailand. So, let's say my research is a bit difficult because the legal aspect of agroecology has not been, there is not much talks about that, because agroecology is mostly dealt from an agronomy or political point of view, but laws are really, really important. So on one side, laws may be an obstacle. Is it good to have laws? Because agroecology needs to be open and follow nature. On the other side, it is very important to have a new paradigm of development, and so laws are necessary. So I came here and I think this organization is really, really important. I had the chance to understand better what agroecology means from an agronomy point of view, and also to talk about policies and laws.
Now, one concept that is repeatedly mentioned in agroecology is food sovereignty. So land rights, food sovereignty, I think they're related. I think that there's a legal aspect there. Are there organizations like Via Campesina that talks a lot about food sovereignty, or in Italy, organizations that you work with?
A lot in Italy, and I also met in Southeast Asia, especially in Thailand. And concerning my research in Myanmar, so I'm dealing agroecology from the point of view of lack of land rights. Land rights for small farmers are really important, also because they are very, very much linked with food sovereignty. Farmers now in Myanmar don't have food sovereignty because they are completely governed by large-scale companies coming to the country. So they don't have the control on the land that they occupied and used for generations.
Yes.
And of course, in Southeast Asia, there is a really strong network protecting small farmers, sustainability. Yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
And I hope to have some feedback from people interested in the legal aspects of agroecology.
Yes. What I generally do is put contact information for people on my podcast. So hopefully somebody will get in touch with you and share their information, experience, as well as, who knows, maybe ask you for some guidance on similar work that they're doing. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
My name is Lucia. I'm from Mendel University in Czech Republic, Faculty of Horticulture. At the moment, I'm doing my PhD study, and I'm focused on monitoring and mapping diversity level within 1 yard size in South Moravian region, which is quite a big part of one yard area in Czech Republic. Most of the part of agriculture is focusing on viticulture. For master, I did some research in flowering trees, so that's why I decided to continue in some not experimental fields, but the real vineyards with real producers. So I did a two-year of mapping this area, focusing on the non-crop vegetation, that means like the bigger habitats, the shrubs and woods and so on, within the vineyard site. And also I was mapping the vineyard floor, the coverage rate and the sector of vegetation species, and decided in some selected places I do insect evaluation, insect species families evaluation. So I want to compare those places, like how the non-crop vegetation can affect the appearance of beneficial insects or pest insects, and how the flora can be affected and how it can like, work together. It cannot be one without the other. So, yeah.
Very good. So you're here at Agroecology Forum. Agroecology Europe Forum. So are you a member of the Agroecology Europe, and what benefits did you have, think that you expected to have by coming to the forum?
I'm a not member of Agroecology Europe. I just found it by, let's say, coincidence, some conference or forum focusing on agroecology, because it's not so many of them within Europe. So I was happy that I found this. And my expectation is like to find some more way for methodology, because it's hard to have to find some methodology and to have some comparable results within the country. So this is my expectation, to meet some experts that are doing in agroecology field, and so how to evaluate and how to compare with the other countries and make it more, this research more real and more valuable.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And
thank
best,
you.
Best of luck on the rest of your PhD program.
Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Ole Osterman, and I'm an ecologist. I've just retired from a career that led me into France and Germany and Belgium and Italy, and now I'm settled in France. I'm German by nationality, but I'm settled in the south of France, and I have the chance to have 2 hectares of land there, where five years ago, I planted 80 olive trees. And as I'm an ecologist, I wanted to follow the ecological principles and agroecological principles. So I had the land deep plowed in the beginning, because I was afraid of a compact soil from the prior use of the land, which was vines. They were uprooted. And then I had it sown with festuca and alfalfa, and I planted the small, tiny olive trees into this land. The soil is loamy and very dry in summer. We have 1,000 millimeters per year, but they fall mainly in October. And it's a typical Mediterranean climate with a long 3 months dry summer period. Now I planted these olive trees. I lost some of the olive trees because of drought, because for my career I was absent and I was only depending on the rainfall. So I lost some, I replanted them, and in order to keep some of the humidity of the soil, I mulched them with straw. So I put quite some straw around, and in the range of the, in the line of the plantation. And I observed then a year or two later that the straw was mineralizing, and for that reason I created a lack of nitrogen. So I saw many legumes like clover or others growing, showing that there's a lack of nitrogen. And so this winter, early spring, I could start giving some horse dung to compensate for this, and I hope for a result now to be seen soon. I don't have any production yet, but I'm confident that this is going up soon, and as the producer of the olive sprouts told me, better give them a hard life in the beginning, not too much water, not too much fertilizer, and then they will be able to fend any kind of variability of the a very unpredictable Mediterranean climate.
Thanks, Ole. So, are you planning to diversify your system? And then, are you thinking of a niche market that your crops will be appropriate for?
Yes, indeed. I will diversify. I have already planted some almond trees as well, and not very elaborated peach, primitive peach. And I also tried kiwi, but they need acid soil, and this is limestone, so they fail. And I also had a pond dug out of 50 cubic meters, which fills in winter and which remains until end of June. I have quite some wildlife already, amphibians, reptilians, insects colonizing this, so I'm very happy to see that. And of course, around the olive trees, as I said, I had sown the festuca and alfalfa. Festuca did not take, but alfalfa, there are some plants surviving. And the grass or the feed is taken for horse feed. So in the line of the olive trees, I will, now that I have more time, I will diversify also with cultivated legumes like chickpeas, and I want to try out cereals like millet. So these are very much adapted to very dry soil. They just need to start, and then they can survive on very dry soil. So I just need to find out the right moment when to sow them in order to expect some harvest. I tried already large beans, faba. They do quite well over winter. So I seed them in November, December, and they make fruit for March. And that's quite interesting, yeah.
So you're a member of Agroecology Europe. And how do you see this organization helping you succeed with your future and present plans?
Yes, Agroecology Europe is very inspiring for me. I was at one of the founding events at the Expo in Milano in 2015. And since then, I take a lot of inspiration out of this organization. I hope to bring myself into it more now that I'm retired. And that I can maybe contribute with my theoretical knowledge and also with my practical farming knowledge.
Fantastic. And I just want to state that Ole was very generous with the donation today to help this organization even expand and be more successful. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Nikki Rose. I have a school without walls. It's called Creek Culinary Sanctuary. I organize study tours, study abroad programs, and then also programs for researchers and journalists in eco-agrotourism.
Very good. And so agroecology as a concept, how are you using the term? How are you using it in your business? How do you understand how this discipline can help you achieve the goals and help other people understand what your goals are?
Well, for me, we organize trips that are integrated. We host study abroad groups and try to integrate our culture, nature, and cuisine all together so people understand the link between all three. And agroecology can really help us in that because I've always worked with organic farmers for the past 22 years, and now it makes more sense. And agroecology can help us support that, support the organic farmers here, and to expand really more educational travel that involves the interrelationship between our culture, nature, and cuisine, because it makes much more sense to people, and it's frankly more interesting.
I know you've been intimately involved with the organizing of this forum of Agroecology Europe, and just wondering how you see this new organization helping achieve not only your goals, but things that need to be done to improve the sustainability of our society in general.
Well, I think from my point of view as a former chef and someone who hosts a lot of nutrition students and knowing what they go back to, which is a very fundamental idea that nutrition and health, and also the benefits of organic farming and the dangers of conventional farming. And so I'd like to see more people conveying the benefits of organic farming, not just as an elitist, expensive option, but really the only route if you're a parent in this day and age. You really need to focus on that. So part of my work that I'm working on a documentary that covers this more fully, but that any toxicologist can tell you how dangerous conventional agriculture is. So I think with agroecology, they need to be more specific about the benefits rather than saying it's a theory or a concept or something vague. Then it would be better to list the benefits, the value of organic farming beyond just nicer, cleaner food, but really that it's supporting your community, it's supporting other people, and it's supporting the health of your neighbors and your children.
And I guess one final question in my mind would be about these tours you organize. I've heard you talk about nutrition science students, so you're working with universities, and I guess there's some academic credit that can be
Yes, there are also accredited tours.
Just kind of wondering about the diversity of people that you organize these tours for. So maybe our listeners could possibly want to get in touch with you.
Oh, well, that would be great. Yes.
A tour of a wonderful creek.
Well, it's one way to scale out agroecology is by supporting the tours like this around the world, culinary tours that are also focusing on specifically on organic farming and culture and nature, because, you know, as we said, it's a more interesting way of learning also. So,
University of Missouri, you mentioned.
Oh, yes.
Are there some other universities that you've
interacted
with?
University of Missouri, Utah State, Drexel University, Hospitality and Tourism, Johnson & Wales, again, Hospitality Chefs. So, chefs are an important part of the equation here because they're also the purchasers, the buyers, and the messengers. Chefs can have a lot of impact on what people eat and be great spokespeople, like, for instance, Dan Barber, you know, at Stone Barn, who's one of many. But we have chefs like that here in Greece, too, that are very dedicated with a different, you know, a mindset also of family farming.
And it brings a significant level of fun to all this learning and working in the cuisine.
Well, I believe that learning should be fun. I think we definitely learn more if we're having fun at it. So, you know, hanging out with great chefs and farmers who are really funny and very knowledgeable is a great day.
Yeah, my son went on the field trip to, I forget his, the
Melikakis.
Yeah.
Melikakis.
And he can't stop talking about how much fun it was and how enthusiastic, because they're farmers and chefs at the same time. They're feeding us here at this forum, right?
Yes.
Excellent
food.
He was blown away. He can't stop talking to me and my wife about
how
great that field trip was.
Yes, and they're part of our network, our educational network. We have about 50 teachers in our educational network, My School Without Walls, and it's growing because we always find someone new and interesting to support, and so it's a way of supporting and paying teachers just like any other teacher should be paid.
Very good, very good. Well, thanks so much.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
My pleasure. I have a good...
My name is Konstantinos Kalaitzoglou. I'm an agronomist and agroecologist. I studied agronomy and plant protection at the Aristotle University of Thessaloniki at an integrated bachelor and master's program. And then I did my master's in agroecology in Sweden at the University of SLU, Swedish Agricultural University. I did my thesis research in California, Santa Cruz, UC Santa Cruz, and mainly focused on the analysis of the agri-food system research network, how actors communicate with each other, the role of extension, and why organic agriculture is reached that level at this particular area. So my main scientific interest is about the role of extension in knowledge creation and dissemination, especially in alternative food networks. In that sense, what I was able to find from my research in California, and especially in Santa Cruz, is that due to the fact that there is a strong bond between certain scientists, extension agents, and some farmers, they were able to build a trust relationship, and this trust relationship was the main reason of being able to implement new techniques, organic techniques, and then sometimes agroecological techniques for some cases. At this time, I'm working on a digital extension in Berlin. It's a digital advisory, and we mainly work with Indian smallholder farmers. It's a startup, and we hope to do something good with that.
Okay, and we're all here at the Agroecology Europe Forum, and just wondering what brought you to the forum and what your involvement with this organization is and how other people might consider joining it to help learn more about agroecology.
I am a member of Agroecology Greece. Agroecology Greece is a branch of the Agroecology Europe, so I'm a part of, I'm a local organizer in that sense. Agroecology Europe is a relatively new association. We're trying to raise awareness regarding agroecology, define, if it's possible, what agroecology is and the differences from other practices or methods. And forum being organized in Crete was an effort of decentralizing agroecology and give the people an opportunity to understand what's going on with the Mediterranean agricultural systems, have a different idea, see the potential and maybe the problems. But the main thing in that sense, because I've been at the first agroecology forum 2 years ago in Lyon, is bringing people together, exchange ideas, and it's always very pleasant for an agroecologist to meet with other agroecologists and exchange ideas.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Well, there you have it. My conversations with Sandra, Lindsay, Erica, Lucia, Mickey, Ole, and Konstantinos. Done when I attended with my son Forrest the second Agroecology Europe Forum in Crete, Greece. I hope that you found it as informative and inspiring as I did. If you want further information about and to contact Agroecology Europe Association, please check out their Facebook webpage and their website at http://www.agroecology-europe.org. I also want to encourage you to visit the following websites to dig deeper into the scope of the second Agroecology Europe Forum. One, for the proceedings of the speeches and the topics, see the website http://agroecology-europe.eu/forum-proceedings. 2, for a short YouTube video of the activities and organizers of this event, see the website https://www.youtube.com/watch?v=sign(B=R0K7L). As mentioned in the podcast, here are the email addresses of a couple of the interviewees who can be reached for additional information. 1, Erica Lenny, on the topic of agroecology law and farmer property rights at the University of Santa Ana School of Advanced Studies in Pisa, Italy. Her email is erica@santananapisa.it. And 2, Nikki Rose, on the topic of agroecology, ecological, cultural tours, with her business Crete's Culinary Sanctuaries in Heracleion, Crete. See her Facebook webpage and or her website at http://www.COOKINGINCRETE.com. Finally, I wholeheartedly recommend that you check out the website of the International Panel of Experts on Sustainable Food Systems. See their website, https://www.ipes/food.org. And last but not least, I again want to acknowledge the artists of my theme music selections for this episode of Agroecology World.
That is the song Once Again by the group Hang Massive, and the song Everyone Sleeps in the Light by Joaquin Cooter. And for you newcomers to my podcast, a footnote to this acknowledgement is necessary because my theme music selections are only heard on the version of my podcast found on the website for Anchor. While not essential to the content of my podcast, I do hope you may consider also listening to my podcast on the Anchor website too, in order to enjoy my theme music selections as part of my episodes. Happy trails until we meet again at my next episode of Agroecology World, from another stop in my current travels in Europe. Once again, I really want to express my appreciation to everyone's efforts in becoming regular listeners and spreading the word about Agroecology podcasts to your friends and associates. Your participation as an active listener is helping me achieve the goal for starting my podcast since I retired as a sustainable agriculture extension educator at the University of Florida in the USA and started my world travels with my wife, Sky. That is, my podcast is my contribution in my own small way to the free exchange of ideas and contact information for worldwide groups that are leading the transition to agroecology and sustainable community food systems. Peace.